also kept up on the street for sterilized lobotomized left in a car and eat. Got some things you say and do, tell me your brain cells are a few, and that is why I hate you.
What's up, everybody?
Hello, hello.
We got a very special guest today. Mr. Paul Mattingly is hello. In the virtual house.
Yeah. And that is why I hate you.
Paul, that's a Justin Nozick special right there.
It's a good jam.
It's a good jam.
He knows what he's doing, together. That kid.
Yes, he sure does. We wanted to welcome Paul to the show. Paul, how's your hip doing?
Better. Better every day. Stronger every day. We have the technology. We can rebuild him. It's happening. things are doing better. I got physical therapy again today. It's just a matter of getting the strength in my upper thigh now. That's my weakest point because that's where the incision is and a bunch of muscle just got sliced and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's coming back. Everything else is good. I mean, it's so much less pain than it was. So, yeah.
I can only imagine. If you don't mind me asking, what was wrong with your hip?
It had degenerated completely. It was called, they said, end-stage arthritis. Basically, what was going on was I had a bone malformation that over the years had just eroded all the the cushion in there.
Cartilage.
The cartilage in there.
Yeah.
To where it was just bone on bone, and it had just been grinding to the point
dust.
Where it was just a mess. And so there was no space in the joint at all. It was just constant and incredible pain for the last 4 months.
I think
3 years of pain, 4 months, last 4 months I couldn't move. So it was getting awful.
I think I think you said it was like dust. Basically.
Yeah, they were really surprised when they got in there and took a look at
hell are you doing moving on
what
this?
Exactly was going on. Yeah.
You got titanium in there now?
Titanium, right? Baby.
Yeah, that's the real
Brianna
stuff.
Brianna ordered.
Just short of adamantium.
Yeah. Tell me how when Matt was just like, oh yeah, Paul's going to be on the show. And he's been telling me to listen to Ice Cream Social constantly. But whenever people tell me to listen to stuff or watch stuff, I stupidly just go, I'm not going to do that. And so I went and researched. I wanted to get to know, like, you know, how you were and everything. And the first thing that popped up was just like, oh, so I got my hip replaced. I'm like, that's terrifying. like, that was my introduction to Paul.
Yeah. Yeah.
That part's terrifying.
This is a weird chapter in my life. Things have been in a state of upheaval for the last couple years here. Had to move out to Pennsylvania from Vegas. It's been good. I've got a house. I've got a super nerd basement now. Things are on the mend. But
the basement is amazing.
Yeah, I've had a lot of crazy lives in this one little life. But now that my hip is better, I'm hoping a new chapter can start. So yeah, it was a little terrifying, but honestly, the pain was so intense at that point, I was just like, just cut me, do whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
Thankfully, they finally did. As a man of size, I was dismissed out of hand. The first hip guy I went to, he was just like, "Man, go lose some weight." I'm like,
"Go lose weight." Yep.
Yeah, I'm gonna murder you, motherfucker. And I wanted to just, like, strangle him, and be like, "Dude, 3 years ago, I was dancing and singing every night on the stage, 6 nights a week in Las Vegas as a headlining performer in a ridiculous musical. You bastard." This hip is busted. Fix it.
If I could move and lose weight, I would.
That's the other thing. And I ended up losing about 45 pounds with this incredible pain just because I was so, I had no other option. I had to lose weight, but because otherwise they weren't going to do the surgery. So I was like, fuck, well, okay, I guess I'll just stop eating then for a while. It worked. I got to get back on that health kick again now that everything's healing. But things are good. Things are good.
Yeah, doctors are the worst. I went to, because I'm still trying to deal with whatever autoimmune the issue I have. And the last autoimmune or rheumatologist I went to literally was just like, well, you're feeling okay for right now, so we'll just take blood in 6 months. And I was like, oh, okay. It's a flare-up disease. Sometimes things, like right now I'm going through a flare-up. Like every joint in my body seems to hurt right now. But like at the time I was okay. So he was like, well, you seem to be doing okay right now. We'll wait 6 months to take blood. And I was just like, but why not do it now? Can't we, you know?
No reason. But the medical system is jacked. My mom just had to have surgery yesterday for an abdominal breach hernia thing.
Wow. And,
it's like it took them a year to find that. Why would it take you a year to find that? And my condition was fully real, revealed when they finally did an MRI. And I'm like,
that's all they needed to do.
Why did we not do an MRI 2 years ago? I don't know. But yeah, if are we broadcasting this anywhere? Is this going out?
No, right now it's just recording.
Nope. I can just show you guys real quick. So this is the crushed nothing hip. So this is supposed to be space. There's supposed to be space.
Yeah,
here,
that's
right? So
all one just, white space.
Yeah, so this was just the death zone, and this is what it is now with the titanium rod that goes into my
looks
femur.
Normal.
It's much more workable. Yeah. So absolute death.
It's actually a joint.
Mm-hmm. It's a real working joint. Oh man. Now. Yeah. So was dealing with that for a while. It was awful. So when you were researching, what other tidbits did you come across?
Well, Matt would talk to me about how much like of a nerd you are. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's my wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And definitely. So
I was telling Joaquin ahead of time. This is an opportunity for you to nerd out with us, since on Ice Cream Social you typically are
I get stifled.
You get stifled a little bit.
I get stifled. Those boys can't handle my.
They say shut the fuck up.
They can't get on my level. Well, because they told you about my former life as a Klingon? Yes, you know about that.
I did get a glimpse of it.
Yes. So I spent a decade as Lieutenant Commander Voha. That's me promoting the monorail years and years ago. Hanging out with my Ferengi friend.
Dope.
Yeah, it was good times. So I did that with Paramount Parks for a long, long time.
And you were at the point where you learned the language, or you weren't quite.
Klingon Hordijat, ah, Khobetraknan, Kurvach. Yeah, I can hang in a Klingon bar. I know how to sing Klingon opera, all that jazz. That was my gimmick. I was the Klingon opera singer.
And of course, I spoke very differently when in character. So if you met Voha, you would not know it was me, necessarily, outside my gear. Would not realize who I am, what I do for the Empire, what I would not give for the honor of Kalis and the eternal reward in Stovokor.
Okay, Joaquin, shift gears from Star Trek to Star Wars now.
Oh, well, see, I love both. Which are you? Would you fall more on the Wars camp?
As a child, I grew up with Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Yeah, me too.
So, like, Picard was my dude.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was just like, my best friend at the time was into Star Wars.
Okay.
And so I had to kind of get into it just to appease him. And I was like, Boba Fett, that's my dude. That's mm-hmm. my dude. That's the character I like. But as time went on, just Star Wars was more prevalent for me.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of like, you know, space subs, it was just like, you know, genie wizards shooting lasers at each other. But I spend time, I'm more of a D&D nerd, but my son totally gets into Star Wars.
Okay.
So obviously I'm going to fall into whatever my son falls into.
Of course.
Because I want him to be interested in whatever he's interested in. And him and I, he's watched every single film, and he's had me watch every single film with him. And I started watching this going, Anakin's an ass. Like, and even my son, who is six, went, he got a happy ending. Why did he get a happy ending? He's a bad guy. And went, you know what? As simplistic as that sounds, Anakin, in my opinion, doesn't deserve a redemption arc, quote unquote. And if the one he did get was not, in my opinion, what's the word I'm looking for? Significant enough to just say, oh, I'm sorry, son. I'm glad I didn't kill you. Bleh. Like,
yeah,
he killed
a
bunch of kids. I can't get over that.
Redeemed,
so how do
you
feel about
that? Redeemed on his deathbed, not much. It's that kind of that last minute make a Pascal's wager with, well, if there's a Jedi heaven, I better say I'm sorry. You know,
what she got?
If you've watched Ahsoka, if you watch Ahsoka, you know he's in Jedi heaven.
Yeah, I guess, but she's also
or whatever it is.
I kind of watch that. Like, weren't they fighting each other in Jedi limbo for a long time?
That was just like a meditation thing she was doing.
Yeah, who knows? The rules are out the window.
I
mean, here's the thing: people want to talk about how George Lucas kept everything the same. Let's be real here. During the episode 1 through 3, we were all saying Lucas doesn't know what the fuck he's doing anymore.
Yeah.
Everybody turned on Lucas around those three films. And I still think he was flying by the seat of his pants from the first film that came out.
Of course. Yeah.
And you could tell one when he did the recreate the when CG became a thing and he was just throwing in shit that didn't need to happen. Jabba the Hutt's size didn't make sense. Why was he talking to Han Solo like in the beginning? The Han shooting first nonsense, which were small things. We grew up with
that Jabba scene was in the original movie played by a human actor.
A human actor.
But, you know, to go in and redo it, just silly. But that's his choice. He can do what he wants.
He's an artist. It's his IP.
Yeah.
It's his IP. I'm not saying he's wrong. What I'm saying is don't treat him like he's some kind of patron saint for making Star Wars. Star Wars is extremely simplistic.
Right. Well, it's, that's the Star Trek.
And derivative.
Star Trek at its best, it's meant to be allegory for the problems of our modern times.
Yes.
You know, when the 60s series was all about what was going on in the 60s, race relations, progressive thought, women's lib, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That was what we were, and that's what made it so great was you could slip some of that under the noses of people who don't understand or would block that kind of messaging. Star Trek is great for that. Star Wars is myth and legend and great. Fine. Awesome. Yeah. We need those hero's journey tales. We need those kinds of things. But then with the prequels, he started to kind of get his Star Wars and his Star Trek. He made a very politically charged set of films, which that's cool. But if I'm an 8-year-old, I don't care about a Trade Federation war. However, the points that he's made have sadly come to fruition in this very country writ large. Like the warnings he sent out in those movies, he knew what he was talking about. It's just the messaging was so boring and upset so many Star Wars fans.
It really was.
And then meanwhile, he's also got poor Ahmed Best doing this not cool accent during the whole thing. Which throws that character, because that character, have you seen the cuts? Every time I get into Star Wars, I have the same Star Wars conversation with all my nerd podcasts, so you'll forgive me. I'm repeating a lot.
No, go ahead.
But have you seen the cuts where Jar Jar is mouthing words that other characters are saying during the scenes? Have you seen those?
Yes.
Right. So he was clearly Sith influenced, at least had some dark stuff going on, right?
I was just going to say the only way to redeem that character was the Jar Jar Sith.
He was
theory.
Supposed to go evil. Like there's artwork of him with those ears fully flailed up with the spikes in them. Because if you tweak him out, he's a freaky looking dude.
He could be
scary looking critter. And Lucas lost his nerve and didn't want to do that. And also Lucas, he keeps making his bad guys and his foils Black people.
Yeah.
That's just, he's got a habit. And so I think he had to undo that in a lot of ways. I think the same thing holds for Mace Windu, because my theory on Mace Windu is he also was an agent of the Sith. And Lucas had to go, oh, wait, I can't make every Black character somehow falling on the dark side or treacherous or like Lando half and half.
Yeah.
But the scene that always gets me is when Yoda is in meditation with the Force and he's talking to Qui-Gon's ghost, and what happens when he gets his link with the light side broken? In walks Mace Windu. There's a reason that the link got broken, because Mace Windu came in.
That's a good theory.
He's an agent of the Sith, man.
Because I didn't fall that far with Mace Windu so much. I just thought he was supposed to be completely unlikable.
No.
I thought they made him strictly unlikable. That makes sense.
He was supposed to be an agent of the Sith. The purple saber, right? The breaking of contact with Yoda and the light side when he's in meditation and learning things from, he was starting to get the tea, and Mace was like, no. The biggest thing, when they finally have their big free-for-all bullshit, too many lightsabers fight on insect planet.
It's like a Skittle.
What's the insect
Skittles
planet
commercial
called? What's that place called?
Genosis. My son will be able to tell
Genosis.
You.
So they're on Genosis. All right. So what's the big MacGuffin of Attack of the Clones, the second one? What's the big mystery that Obi-Wan's been trying to get to the heart of? He goes to Kamino, and he meets up with those long neck freaks, and sees the clone army. And who ordered this? Sifo Dyas. Who the fuck is Sifo Dyas? I don't know, but I'll tell you who would know. Jango fucking Fett.
Yep, and Jango, Mace Windu made sure Windu, to kill him.
The first thing he fucking does.
The first thing he did was go straight
in,
for him and kill
him. No words. Whoosh, good night, Sally. That is the end of the link between who is Sifo Dyas and how do we figure it out. That's it. There are no more eyewitnesses. The Kaminoans aren't talking. So the plan was, again,
that's
for Lucas to... It's not a theory. Look at it. It's just the truth.
No, I mean, it's well documented.
What it is Lucas saying, oh, I really should stop having all my villains be black people, to the point where the next film he made after the trilogy was Red Tails, which is about the heroism of the Tuskegee fighters. He had such a guilty conscience that he had to go make the Tuskegee Airmen film, you know. It's like,
oh, you're not wrong.
I'm not wrong. It's awful. It's really sad.
I'm not going to. Mace Windu, I'll admit, I love Samuel Jackson. So Mace Windu was my favorite character after Boba Fett.
Yeah.
But God, now I'm never going to see him like that. And I kind of prefer him to be a Sith at that point. Like,
Jar Jar would have been better.
It would have made Anakin's fall make so much more sense. I am tired to death of Palpatine. I just can't. I am so tired of him as a villain. He was just literally just like, oh, I'm going to plan this and I did it. Like, that was his whole shtick. He was literally the Family Guy meme of himself.
Yeah, so
that's
dumb.
What he is.
At best, there are six Star Wars films that I will recognize as existing. Most days, I only acknowledge three. I can't with it. It's just too much. Yeah.
For me, it's literally the first four. Episode 4, 5, 6, and Rogue One are the only Star Wars films
I
love.
I hate Rogue One.
I love Rogue One.
Joaquin and I have had this discussion, and I know you've had this discussion on the podcast as well, that you hate it. Joaquin and I both love Rogue One and think it's possibly the best Star Wars film.
Yeah.
And I know you hate it.
Like anything that has to do with the Skywalker family, personally. Like,
that's part of it.
I mean, as much as I hate Rogue One, I never screamed at a screen more. I didn't see Rise of Skywalker until it was on home video. I got the DVD just to complete my, you know, physical collection. Right. I watched that screaming at my television the entire time. I've never been so upset. It's terrible.
It's so bad.
It's unwatchable.
Movie.
Yeah. And
like,
there's not a
bad Star Wars movie. It's a bad movie.
Yeah. There's a riff tracks. There's a riff tracks for it. And I started it up one day and I was like, I can't even watch a riff track fan. I just can't do this again to myself. I hate this movie so much. So stupid. My son, Rogue One, I think just for me, again, it's the dark. Everything's just so grim dark.
Too dark.
I get it. And that's not Star Wars. And I get it.
That's true.
And
I didn't like Casio Keyboard. I think he's a whack character. I've never liked him. He can fucking take a hike.
You know what? Like, I can get why somebody who likes Star Wars wouldn't like it. As I said, Star Wars wasn't my thing. So I do like it because I like seeing the war aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it because it was a grim, dark, different type of movie.
It was a side tale, so I don't it's not connected to like the big wizard battle thing. But Rise of Skywalker, which is that name is so funny to me because like all Skywalkers are dead. You can say in name only. That's like let's just be real here. But
I guess Ben is sort of a Skywalker by proxy.
Yeah, he dies too, though. Yeah.
No.
He literally falls.
Well, at the end, at the end, he did die. Yeah, that's so dumb. I don't even hardly remember.
But there's the one ability I can't reconcile it in my head, despite how silly Star Wars can be, and that is the force teleportation of things. I can't reconcile. Like, I'm holding this thing, and now I bring it to you because we're connected through the holocron, like, or whatever.
Teleporting, like actual,
Teleporting she teleported her lightsaber to Ben.
Yeah.
During the fight.
Yeah.
And they were like, and you thought that they were just communicating telepathically, but they actually, in some way, were kind of physically together. He snatched her cloak, or she snatched his somehow. I'm like, this is going to be a really stupid Deus Ex Machina. And then the next movie comes out, and that's exactly what it was. Well, it wasn't used. It didn't have any other significance other than being itself.
That was precisely one of the major issues I had with the prequels when, within the first 10 minutes, we see Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan zipping through that ship at breakneck speed. It's like, oh, you guys can do that. That's cool. All right. Let's see some more cool Oh, you're never going to do that again.
Never.
And like,
just for that.
Like the Mr. Plinkett reviews puts that just totally in the perspective when they're doing the fight at the
100%.
End. 100%. Like the shield pops up. He's like, oh, so you're not going to use your force speed to go get to your through friend.
It. You're not going to go. You did that in the video game.
You could have got to your friend. Oh, dude, don't even get me started with the games. That episode 3 game is better than any of those fucking movies. Did you play that one through when you're playing as Anakin and you go to the Jedi Temple and wreck shit? Did you play that sequence, dude?
Everything.
Dude, you tear down the fucking statues. You slam that librarian across her life. You just, it's like, yeah, that's a lot better than just looking at a bunch of younglings and going, flick, think I'm going to dice you. It's like, yo, have you teared down the wall? That moment in the movie, in the game, I was like, why is this not in the film? This is so symbolic, and he's literally tearing down Jedi history.
Mm-hmm.
He's breaking down because the Jedi are a broken.
Oh no, they're the thing is they are villains too.
Right, they are a corrupted religion, an old.
They're outdated, way too fanatical.
Right,
exactly.
And so, why they didn't do that instead? No, they have him go murder babies. It's like, yo, he could murder the babies inadvertently by tearing down the whole thing, but it's just weird choices.
They wanted
all
to establish how evil Anakin became, but it's like, but you don't understand. Now that you establish how evil he is, no matter what the fuck you say or do about him, he is that gross.
Well, it's old save the cat disgusting. Logic, right? It's old save the cat logic. You can't kill the dog and then expect anyone to, you know, give a shit about your movie for the rest of the time. That even goes to what's that movie? Anchorman. You guys have seen Anchorman, right?
Yeah, I love Anchorman.
You remember when Jack Black pops in on the bridge as the biker?
Yeah, punts the dog.
And punts him. What happens at the end of the movie? What happens at the very end of the movie?
It's
fine.
The dog comes running at the end of the zoo fight. He goes, Baxter,
one of my favorite parts of any movie.
I promise you, here's the thing. That was not in the original cut.
No.
Oh,
it was the ending of Dodgeball. It's the same.
It was not in the original cut, and that's the thing. The dog didn't come back in the original movie, and people hated fucking movie. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. You can't do that. You can't let your characters, even the villain characters, you can't let them be that vile.
I love stories like that.
It poisons the whole thing.
Absolutely right.
I'm playing The Last of Us 2 again now, and I'm remembering the controversy when that came out, where you have to kill the dogs, and people were like flipping the fuck out about it.
Again, I don't give a shit about that. I've been killing dogs in video games for years. That's just always been a thing.
They play Resident Evil, it's just what it is. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. But my thing is, Ellie, the main character of The Last of Us 2, is a reprehensible piece of shit, and they want you to feel bad for.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I get it. She's angry. Joel sacrificed everybody for her, but she does some terrible things plus killing dogs. That is what the real problem is.
I'd say the good thing, quote unquote, about that is that, like you were saying with Anakin's redemption arc, I think Ellie really, in the end, you see her really in the mire of her choices, right? Like she is paying for what she chose for choosing revenge.
She lost her wife.
She lost every
spoilers, I guess.
Wife and kid,
fingers.
Yep.
Joel.
Yeah.
Everything.
She lost everything.
So she wanted to kill Livs. She let her, she like, it's off.
Oh, it's a brilliant story for that. In so much as they show that this protagonist made some hard choices, decided to go down revenge, and has to live with those choices, and her life is going to suffer because she decided to follow and go get quote unquote revenge. Yeah.
Funny enough, I feel the same way playing Cyberpunk 2077 right now. Like, it, although you have to kind of play that in your head because the story doesn't care about that shit, but it keeps putting you in situations where you're like, this world is shitty. You are shitty as well. Just are you? And so when they give you moralistic problems, like there's a mission with a character, Lizzie Wizzy. Lizzie Wizzy, if you don't know, is a pop star. Yep, she's a pop star who has full body modification. She's one of the few people who can do that. But she's losing herself. She's becoming more machine and more the icon than she is the person.
Right.
And
sounds like Miku.
Actually, she is. I guess they took the inspiration of Miku because, again, Cyberpunk has existed years for years, right, like as a
way
tabletop.
Before that, yeah.
Right.
And Lizzie Wizzy was a thing, but she was just kind of like in the background because she wasn't a playable character or anything. But in this, I think they did take that idea of Hatsune Miku and said, well, what if we inverted as if Miku was a person first, then became the idol, and now is like a full machine idol, but still with a human soul, so to speak, quote unquote. And so, quote unquote, I don't know how it said. Anyway, so she hires you because she's like, my boyfriend slash manager might be cheating on me. And you get sparks of her like being kind of weird about it and talking to you like a person and then being really flippant about you even being in her presence. And so you have a choice. You find out he's not trying to have her killed, and he's not cheating on her. He's trying to have her copied, and he's afraid of that she's going nuts. So he wants her personality copied to an engram and to move it over or to have it tested. And so obviously, so her career can last forever because she just gets put into a new body and whatnot. But that's without her consent. Well, you finish the mission. You could choose to tell her the truth or to say, yeah, he's cheating on you. And if you say he's cheating, if you say that he's cheating, she leaves and that's it. You don't see anymore. I want more story. So I said, oh, I told you the truth. Told her the truth. She calls you back. She fucking killed him. And he said, I was afraid she would do this. Essentially, he said that before he died, obviously. But so now you have a choice to hide the body. You can choose to hide the body, but you can go, what the fuck is wrong with you? You fucking bitch. I'm just pay me after. I'm just going to go and you hide the body. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, yeah, thank you. And you still get another choice to go. You need to get help. Or you can go, yeah, happy to help. Or you'd be like, I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. But you're dealing with that moral paradigm constantly throughout the game.
Yeah.
Not just that situation. It's That's throughout the entire
the
game.
Second example you've given me now. Yeah.
And overall, like, again, this is my second playthrough. The first playthrough, I'm just like, yeah, I'm enjoying the game. But now I'm like, wow, nobody is good. Not a single person is good. Just can I feel that certain characters can be redeemed or not? Mm. How far do I push my V into being unredemptive in my own mind? Because you're dying throughout the entire game. Mm-hmm. From tutorial on. You are dying. The game reminds you you're dying. You'll finish a mission and then your character will collapse and you're just bleeding out of your face. Like you're dying the whole time and all you want to do is either live or feel some kind of redemption. And I like that. But sometimes stories don't feel like properly to that, or the audience doesn't get it because they're too emotionally invested in the character in which they're playing and or watching. To the point that they get mad that the devil's doing bad things.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, it's just hearing David Lynch talk about it a little bit too, about just how in a lot of ways, movies and TV don't have to make sense. Life doesn't make sense. It's like you can leave some ambiguity on the table, but
I prefer it.
But I do have a hard time getting into just protagonists who have no redeeming qualities whatsoever. It's just that's what happened with Anakin. It's just like I like when we watch the original trilogy, you see the arc and Darth Vader, he gets his, he dies, and he says, I messed up, do better than me, son, good luck.
Yeah,
that's satisfying. But then when they fill in all the backstory and you know all the craziness and you're like, boy.
and you know what? I would have been fine if he, you know, said be better than me and died. But no, they show his ghost after. No. He gets so much fucking respect that he goes back to being his young version.
Right. They changed him
for some fucking reason.
They changed him from the original actor to the other guy. Yeah, it was weird.
And I'm sorry, we didn't do that with Obi-Wan.
No.
And I'm sorry, that actor hated the movie.
Right.
And Hugh McGregor's been Obi-Wan way longer, and I'm sorry, doing a better job at being Obi-Wan.
It doesn't make any sense. Star Wars doesn't make any sense anymore. It never made sense. So you got it right. You got to just enjoy it for what it is, to a point. Lucas was very lucky. He had surrounded himself with brilliant creatives, and the happy accidents that led to Empire, with Mark Hamill being injured, that led to having to have reasons why his face is all jacked up, which added to the story, you know, which gave him the whole Hoth thing, which, you know, all these different little, you know, mistakes, you know, the second film was very difficult. And, you know, you learn as an artist that if it's too easy or you have too many choices, you get screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
There have to be, I always use the metaphor of Mortal Kombat versus Killer Instinct. You'll recall in some Killer Instinct levels, you can just keep walking backwards in an eternal loop, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Joaquin loves Mortal Kombat.
Right. And you could just, in Killer Instinct, you could just keep walking backwards and never get in combat, right? You could let the timer run out, right? But in Street Fighter, there's a wall.
Street Fighter Mortal Kombat, you have to hit the wall.
There's a wall. And your characters can actually even interact with that wall, some of them, right? So having boundaries on your art leads to more innovative stuff. Chun-Li would never be able to do a wall jump if you could continually walk away to evade your opponent. But the fact that there are stuff like that, my friend Kay Cannon, that was her big quote, was attack the brackets. That was one of her improv things. Like, hit the very edges of what is possible for your character in a scene. Make sure you're going to those extremes, because that's where the action is. So, you know, attack the brackets always. And if you're not pushing for that kind of interesting stuff, you're just twiddling your thumbs. You're just walking away until the timer runs out. It's like,
exactly. And I feel like, and I've mentioned earlier in our podcast, that the money and access gets rid of those boundaries, and sometimes you lose the plot.
Well, that's just it.
And
yeah.
I feel like Lucas did that. Yeah.
Limitless to the point where even he distrusted his own vision and just redid everything by the second movie and third movies and that prequel. It was just sad.
That really hurt. Because people are starting to say that the prequels are good now. And I'm just like, it's just like you grew up with it.
They were good if you were five. Yeah.
It's nostalgia.
Like, you understand that they are objectively not great.
I saw Phantom Menace 7 times in the theater as an adult, as a 20-something-year-old man. Watch that 7 times, just certain that there was something there I was missing, and there's nothing.
Look, those prequels, they put me to sleep. Again, I've seen them with my son recently. I just can't.
Yeah.
Especially, like, the fights are cool. You know, the choreography is beautiful, I guess.
But Sith fight is just so, there's no heart in it.
Yeah, there's
Who cares? When you got Obi-Wan and Vader for real facing off in 4, for what? Mm-hmm. 3 minutes tops, you feel something, you know.
Yep.
The way that all played out.
My son played. That's his comfort. Like, he'll literally go to that ending fight every night because he is a half an hour before he has to go to bed.
Yeah.
He can't play games or anything, and he'll watch the fight, and then he'll like have me recite it with him and try to play fight with me
on Mustafar.
Reenacting. Yep, the Mustafar fight. Yes. He was like, okay, fight? You're Obi-Wan. You're going to hold like this. You're going to do this. And then I'm going to jump. And he makes me do the Anakin accent. I have the high ground. Anakin, I have the high ground.
I hate you.
You underestimate my power.
I can see him doing this with you.
he will correct me if I get it wrong because I have dad brain. I'm barely like, that's I'm so only funny. Invested because you're invested.
Right.
But then he goes, and now he does the jump. My son kills me with this. He goes, and he does like the sound. And it kills me. But one little tidbit that I did find in the Obi-Wan show that had to do with Hayden Christensen's acting ideas.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
People used to make fun of
Hayden
Christensen for his Anakin voice, which, you know, makes sense, right? He was a very wooden actor.
Mm.
But I didn't notice when he became Vader, he actually did change his cadence. And what I what we found out was what he was trying to do was copy James Earl Jones.
Right.
He was trying to sound how Vader should sound. And I was like, I get where you're going, but now I kind of feel like probably maybe he just spoke like that because of the breathing apparatus. Let's not try to write that into the fiction that he yeah, just that, had a just... personality that speaks different.
Right. Right. And so, that whole thing. Just forget. We can talk about that forever. Yeah,
we can go on forever. We can cut.
It's just.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to, did you guys see the Wolverine, Deadpool and Wolverine?
I can't watch trailers. I can't watch trailers.
You can't bring yourself to watch it?
I just, trailers,
I don't like to watch trailers. I can't remember it all.
Yeah.
Like, I remember these damn prequels from 25 years ago now and still in my brain.
Right.
I forgot that you... No, funny enough, Paul, that you say that. That's fine. I'm not going to try to tell you to do it. One thing I can say, this is literally one of the very few trailers that doesn't tell you much of anything. It's just a hodgepodge.
I'm glad to hear that.
Scenes of them being together.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm very much looking forward to it.
The most you get is what you believe is going to happen. They meet, they hate each other, they become buddies, the end.
Yeah, that's literally all there is to it. The trailer tells. You're right. The trailer doesn't really give any story away. It's just, like you said, a hodgepodge of.
Well, as a longtime Marvel boy, I'm a Marvel kid from the jump. Sincerely hope this puts the MCU back on track in a much more interesting way.
I hope it happens a lot faster than DC doing their reset.
Well, I mean, we're not even, you know what, as much as Marvel's had some missteps,
DC didn't know what they were doing in the beginning. Warner Brothers fucks up every IP they touch.
Yeah.
And what they did was, like, they tried to copy the Marvel model, but they didn't want to dedicate themselves 100% to that.
It's right.
Like, don't fucking copy the model. Go at your own pace. But they didn't do that.
Well, last time I checked, Bruce Timm and Tim Burton are both alive and making things.
Yep.
Yeah.
Why didn't trust Bruce Timm to helm some live action stuff? Blows my mind.
Wasn't Bruce Timm doing Beware the Batman?
There's supposed to be a new Batman
show that was supposed to come out,
It's still in hiatus. Yeah, because it was supposed to be recently.
They're trying to kill it. Yeah,
they probably will before it's all said and done. They'll probably tack right off that thing. It's going to kill me. Oh.
Like, the Warner Brothers fucking kills and ruins everything.
Yeah, that Zaslav bastard, he's not good. Not good. Now, there's a fucking Anakin redemption story we need. He needs to get his on his fucking yacht. Yeah.
Speaking of, Paul, I did tell you I was going to try to get some ICS-style sponsors.
Oh.
And I did get a couple. I got one from Galactic President Scooper Star McScoops a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And one from him was Dave's DC Universe Disaster Diner.
Perfect. Hey, what's going on? It's me, Dave. Dave's DC Disaster Universe Disaster Diner. Come on in. We got a special today. It's the Shazam plate. It's just a pile of shit. That's all it is. Just a pile of shit on a dish. You can eat it if you want. Go ahead. Don't. I don't care. Yeah. We also got the Black Adam. That's shit in a cup of coffee because you actually had something you might want and then somebody just put shit in it. Yeah. It's actually the Rock shit right in your cup of coffee. The Rock took a shit in your cup of coffee.
Do we just sit on these piles of shit? Or
you can do what you want. I don't care what you do. I don't give a shit. You're going to eat it. I know you're going to eat it. You're a DC fanboy. Bon appetit. But it's mostly shit. It's mostly shit. So just know that. Also, we got the Zack Snyder special. That's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with, you guessed it, lots and lots of shit. Yeah, it's something really good that everybody loves. That, how can you fuck up the Justice League, right? That's as American as apple pie. Oh, let's just put shit all over it. And as a matter of fact,
don't worry about it.
Let's make it black and white. Let's make it black and white so you don't even know what part of the shit you're eating.
You
is it jelly?
3 hours. 3 hours for your meal to show up.
That's right. Yeah.
3 hours.
It's all coming out cold.
This is the worst dining experience I've ever had.
Well, then you're at the right place.
5 stars on
Yelp. Oh my God.
That was fantastic.
DC.
That was good.
DC's bad, no, man.
See, now I'm going to go into another tirade because I'm a internal Batman fan. That's my dad and I's thing. Like, that's how I bonded with my father. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, you motherfuckers, you had a simple thing you could have done. Your Man of Steel movie. I don't care if people liked it or not. You had your Man of Steel movie.
We're not.
Wonder Woman handles the past. Batman handles like the 90s.
Right.
So you have your old Batman, and you don't have to tell it in chronological order. And then if you want to have your Batman kill, have your Batman have the non-kill rule. Something happens, Batman kills villain. And then the next film, like they had it. They had a perfect thing they could have done. And they just were trying to catch up where Marvel was doing shit for so long that you Marvel, were never going to catch up with them.
Right. Marvel was doing stuff. And the big thing about Marvel that they got right is they trusted and paid people and creatives who had come up with storylines for decades in the comic books.
Yeah.
Yep.
And in DC, they didn't trust their source material. And they tried to make everything super grimdark and weird. And what's his name's got some weird, Zack Snyder's got some weird ideas about entertainment, man.
Yeah. Zack's lost his fucking fastball.
Yeah. He's lost his fastball. And the same holds true with Star Wars, especially after Disney bought out the whole thing.
Yeah. They
had on a silver platter if they had gone with the extended universe stuff. And all they did was just change stuff around enough to not pay people. And and they fucked everything because essentially Kylo Ren and what's her name?
Rey Palpatine.
Rey. Yeah. Kylo Ren and Rey are essentially Jason Janna Solo, the twins.
Yes. From the extended universe. Exactly it.
That's who they were supposed to be. And they just twisted it enough so that it's just like with the Matrix sequels. Instead of getting sued by the original creator of all that IP, they're like, oh, let's fuck it up. So that it can't be proved that we stole all these ideas.
I actually love the fact that they did that. Like, I will never watch Matrix 4, but I love the fact that the Wachowski said, fuck it. We're just fucking it. We're destroying it.
I mean, they really took it to the next level.
They killed their darling.
But that first movie is brilliant, but then you find out that they pretty much stole all that from another woman. It's like, oh, shit.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know. I'm excited for Deadpool and Wolverine. I have a man crush on Hugh Jackman.
I love Logan.
It's just perfect.
That was fantastic.
Fucking Wolverine is the best.
And
Wolverine, I like him.
Yeah, I'm excited to see a Wolverine that, I mean, Logan, they let it, you know, it was rated R, so it was a little loose, but I'm excited to see a Wolverine that's more just gruff.
That's and Wolverine and
yes, just a normal Wolverine, like just grumpy, asshole, cursing.
My only gripe from the trailers, I do have one gripe, and it's literally just nitpicking, and that's simply when they showed Wolverine, you know, being Wolverine in his Wolverine outfit, his shoulder pads are missing. That, I just like, that's so 90s. Well,
but that
the shoulder pads are so 90s, but I fucking want the shoulder pads.
And like the original, like, shots that they leaked out, though, didn't he have the shoulder pads on?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah.
He has long sleeves and shoulder pads. He might have them
before it's all over.
Well, no, he has long sleeves and shoulder pads. But people are like, you know what? Why are people bitching about Wolverine not being super hairy? I'm sorry. There's just small things. More and more about that. No, I'm just waiting for it. People are excited to finally see him in yellow. People are happy to see him in yellow.
I think at this point, everyone associates Hugh Jackman with Wolverine so deeply.
He's been Wolverine for 24 years.
So I don't think people care that it's not necessarily like, comic.
Right.
I was a child.
Yeah.
And he was Wolverine.
Right. Yeah, you were really like young.
That's fucking insane.
Yeah.
He's been Wolverine for that long.
I don't know.
Only Aussies can exist that long.
It's amazing he's
doing shit like that.
He's been able to take all that HGH for all these years.
And exactly, right? And just not deteriorate. He doesn't need a new hip or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's a better man than me. Strong. I'm excited because I think they'll probably do, again, like I said, if they're smart. And I think they are. I think Ryan Reynolds has a good head on his shoulders as far as
absolutely
cubbing stuff from the actual MCU comic book sources. There's a moment in one of these Wolverine books. I can't recall which one it was. It wasn't terribly long ago. I have the book somewhere. It might have been New X-Men. I can't remember what it was. It might have been a What If, but Wolverine gets burned up. It was Wolverine versus Punisher, where Punisher shoots his face off.
Oh yeah,
and he gets burned and all kind of stuff, but he still comes back. Like I gotta believe they're gonna pull a Wolverine gets his face shot off.
They're gonna do some horrifying shit with Wolverine.
Right. Yeah, I think
quite
so too.
Sure,
because both of them have that healing process, right? I think I think before it's over, they're both gonna be just limp skeletons of goo, and they're gonna regenerate. It's gonna be really funny.
I hope so.
Yeah,
I hope so.
You know. what I'm hoping for, which won't happen, but I'm really hoping for, is that they, since they're doing all this time travel shit, that they travel into the, or universal travel, not even just time travel, that they end up traveling to the Origins universe. They see their other selves.
Mm.
And they have full-on fight. And then it gets cut off before it ends.
Origins first.
And then Liev Schreiber shows up, goes, "What the fuck is happening?"
Like, be interesting. I think they'll probably end up in the animated universe too, right?
That, yes. Which 97? I just started 97.
Oh, I have to start that. X-Men 97.
I'm still waiting for it all to be done for I can binge it.
That's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for the whole thing.
I've seen the first two. It's good.
So okay. I can binge it.
I wish I still talked to my mother because that was our show.
Yeah.
Oh, like, yeah.
That was such a good.
I love that show. I remember Pizza Hut had like a special thing where they had like a DVD you could get for free when you went to Pizza Hut with like the kids or something. And I was so happy about that. Do you want to keep bantering or do you want to get into talking about video games?
Whatever you want, man. It's your show.
That's true. All right. Let's do a little talk about video games and get into our topic here. Here's a David Sorensen special here.
It's time to begin the complaining.
We have that, and we complain the whole show.
I was
going to
say,
we're going
to begin the complaining?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
I think it's meant to be a bit of a misnomer.
I like that. All right. Yeah.
we spend an hour or so complaining about shit, and then we are going to complain some more about it. So this week, we're talking about video blamers. So that's... And Joaquin, I'll let you start because you wanted to do this topic. But it's all these people that blame video games for all the ails in the world, and kids being dicks, and violence in the world.
I remember being a child, and my dad rented me from ShopRite, from the video section of ShopRite, Mortal Kombat.
Hmm.
And Mortal Kombat was so cool. It was like old Shaolin shit, and then I ripped the guy's head off. And it was just like the coolest shit. So I went out with my friend, my best friend, and we were playing for a little while. He was Scorpion. I was only Sonya Blade because I was like that. And I lit him on fire and he died. Wait. No, I'm sorry. That didn't happen. Why? So what I'm trying to get at,
the kiss of death.
The kiss and it blew and he burned to death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I pretended to do that because I've never wanted to kill somebody because I played that video game.
Right.
I was six or seven.
Yeah.
When that came out.
Yep. Absolutely.
Years later, I'm a teenager. I see politicians on the news once again blaming video games. Around that time, I was playing D&D. My mom forbade me to play it because she's a minister, and I, you know, how
I didn't know that. Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
My dad was a deacon. My mom was a minister.
I knew that part. I didn't know that you were forbade to play D&D.
Yeah, doesn't mean I didn't, but yes.
Well, I mean, when your parents tell you you can't do something, you typically end up doing it.
But you know, again, my dad introduced me to Mortal Kombat, so I don't think he cared. So then, time goes on. I'm an adult now, and I have kids. And my son, he plays the Texas Chainsaw Massacre all the time. Loves that game. He's actually really good at it. But I'm look on the news, and they're talking about video games leading to real life violence again. I'm like, I've been on this earth for 30 some odd years, and I've been hearing this over and over and over. And over again.
So I remember Mortal Kombat coming out, and it was a big thing with Mortal Kombat. It was, oh my God, it's so hyper-violent, it's going to make kids kill people.
Postal, Mortal Kombat.
Then Grand Theft Auto 3 came out.
Grand Theft Auto 3.
Then it's going to make kids go kill prostitutes.
Because because kids can have access to a car and prostitutes.
I don't understand why. I don't understand why it's coming up again now. Like, where is this coming from?
It's easy. That's all there is to it.
It's just an easy thing to blame.
It's easy. It gets press and it distracts from what's really going on with these motherfuckers denying us healthcare and infrastructure and a right to live. And it's disgusting. That's all it is. It's smoke and mirrors. Joe Lieberman finally died. Rest in piss, Joe Lieberman. You son of a bitch. He is part of the reason we don't have healthcare, proper healthcare in this country. And he spent a great deal of time arguing against video games. Like Lethal Enforcers was his big thing. Lethal Enforcers and Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
But I remember
it up. Man, I remember Lethal Enforcers. For decades. And it's disgusting. And it's an attack on art. It's an attack on expression. But these are scapegoated things that it's since time immemorial. When books first became a normal thing, people mm-hmm. would go about saying, oh, don't become one of these mouth-breathing, drooling, sitting at home in a dark corner, masturbating and reading a book all day. Yep. Yep. It's like, yo, anytime fresh technology that expands the brain is on the platter, the powers that be don't want you to learn. They don't want you to grow. They don't want you to experience joy or, heaven forbid, a narrative that you can actually play a part in and experience some other, you can maybe learn some empathy from a different person's point of view. Oh shit, that's dangerous as fuck. So, you know, that's the whole thing. And video games, like I said, it goes back to books. It goes back as far as you can imagine. Anytime new technology, here we are with a new TikTok ban. Give me a break. Yep. Anytime technology advances and it allows people to connect, to express, to think, the powers that be don't want that happening. And so they do their best to put the kibosh on it. And our government is terribly complicit with that. And again, it's smoke and mirrors, and our media plays into it because it's cool. At the end of the day, it's fucking cool. You want to sell a magazine? Put something cool from Mortal Kombat with the head getting ripped off.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
That's amazing. I got to look at it. Even if because they hate it, they want to see it.
I got somebody at my door, so you keep talking. Oh, I'll be right back.
All right, you go ahead and do anything.
We'll do that.
Joaquin, I completely feel you, though, man, as far as the religious undertones. My mother was a nun, and my father was a priest. So
what? Wait, how?
Yeah.
Please run that back for me.
So they were both in holy orders for different amounts of time. They were close in the Kentucky, Ohio region. And eventually there was a time when my mom's order of nuns were getting driving lessons from my dad's order of priests, which that's a recipe for disaster.
That's a mistake right there.
But anyway, a couple years later,
do you want to join hedonism? This is the religious version of it.
Exactly. They had both dropped out of the holy orders at different times within about 2 years of each other. And then I guess back then there was a lot more people in the faith or in the holy orders. And so they published these books, these little zines about who's in, who's out. They found each other on there and ended up dating briefly, and the rest is history.
Oh, I remember her. Wow. I'm not talking about your mom's ass or anything. That's the ass on that.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Let me call her up.
I came back at the wrong time.
You can't quit a bad habit, man. That's what it's all about.
We're kind of trauma bonding on having religious parents.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I think, you know, too, it really does make you aware of like the kind of shit we hear about in church and the kind of terrors they want to use to scare you into worshiping a God makes you go, oh, yeah, well, this video game sure ain't going to hurt me. If you think eternal damnation is down the pike, I can certainly pretend rip a guy's spine out and I'm going to be all right. I haven't turned my wife into a pillar of salt or,
absolutely.
Dropped frogs on an entire
I haven't told a man nation. To like kill their own child in order to say they believe in
Thank
me.
Thank you. Right.
To show their trust and love in me. Yeah.
I'm a few ranks above God now as far as moral standing. So I'm all right.
I may have drowned hundreds of people at once.
Right. Or the world, as it were. Right. Yeah.
The entire world.
You know, if you've ever played The Sims or Sim City, you've probably done it a few times.
Sure. But again, it's virtual. I'm not hurting a fly. I wish God had just stuck to Sim City. He should have just worked until Will Wright came into existence and then gone, you know what, guys? I'm back here to just let you know I'm going to keep this guy alive for eternity. He's going to make me Sims updates for the rest of all time. Eventually, it's going to be just like you guys. It's going to look just like you guys. The resolution is going to be top notch, so I don't have to keep putting you through this bullshit anymore. And I can just let Flea Blue Blah Blah die out in the cold rain and turn into an urn. It's going to be great.
Oh man, because like, you know, growing up like with video, my dad, I think he was more so how I feel about, like, he's more on the religious side, but he's more like, people are people, we have things we need to enjoy, we need to live life and stuff like that. And my mom was more of the black or white, this is how it is, this is how it should be. And so she would weaponize her lack of understanding of things.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of these people that that do that don't even believe in half the shit they're saying. No. So where video games are concerned, like if a lot of these religious institutions that don't believe in video games, but why are you then pushing religious video games when they come out? If you feel like comic books and things are terrible, why is Bible Man a thing?
Right.
He's terrible in his own right.
He's way worse. Yeah. Yeah. But you're exactly right. And their ignorance pushes their fear. But then also you just get right down to it. The whole reason that they went so crazy was because this, and it's proven out, video games make more money than anything. They are the dominant entertainment force.
Great addiction. Yeah. It is an addiction.
Absolutely.
Let's be real here.
Oh, please.
But it's a great and powerful addiction.
And it's the dominant force. So they want a slice of that money. And that's what the ESRB, that, you know, video games, again, they were smart enough. The producers were smart enough to go, hey, let's not let the government completely fuck us here. Let's create our own system of managing this a little bit. Let's get ahead of the curve. But it's ultimately, they just want more tax money. They want more control over where that money's going. And they just want a tax. They just want a slice of the money. That's it.
Army video games would not fucking exist.
Oh, man.
Like joining the military, those video games are a fucking thing.
They use them.
It's literally on violence. Training.
Like they use them for military training.
Yeah,
I went through a video game virtual training in basic training.
Right?
Did you?
And yeah, and this shit was awesome. I mean, it was very low tech, but it was awesome. To have this virtual field you're in, but it's still like the fuck. Like it's probably better now with like actual VR headsets.
Of course,
that exist when I went in. Or at least they weren't prominent, but God, it was like, they wouldn't use that if they couldn't appropriate it. They wouldn't demonize it so much if they could fully appropriate it.
It's terrifying to see these images from literal modern warfare or modern warfare. And you can't tell which is which.
Which is which.
I've played, you know, those games and it's like, you know, if I'm looking at a thermo image, that could very well be
real.
Yeah, right. Tell the difference.
Totally. Yep. And that's what they're training on. So
yeah, I can't play certain games like that. I zone out. I go to my happy place.
Yeah, it's that's not why I play games. Like I'm playing Balatro right now. That's my current addiction. You guys play Balatro?
My friends told me to play Balatro. Oh, it looks really good.
Highest recommendation. It's like 15
I forget
bucks.
Which Scoop was just telling me to play it the other day. I was talking to one of our Scoops.
It's so good.
Yeah. I'm a Souls player. That's the type of frustration I can handle. All right. I can handle that level of frustration.
See, that's too much frustration even for me. I can't do it. It's the side story one.
Bloodborne. That was my first.
And that was the one I really tried to dip into.
I love Bloodborne.
You know that first room where you're stuck in there with that wolf?
Uh-huh.
That's where I am.
Oh, you were supposed to die there. Just let yourself die. Like the thing is, the
I
game
couldn't get past it. And thing, I was like, I don't even know what's going on.
So here's the thing I learned about myself when
Justin Nozick. He's the one that was telling me to play too.
Balatro, dude, it's so fun.
The one thing I learned about Souls games, especially people who get frustrated with it, I tell them this every time: is one thing you have to learn is that you have to be okay with losing. And I don't mean like you just lose all the time because people say get good. That's not the point. Once you start becoming okay with losing, you start experimenting. Once you start experimenting, you learn a lot of shit. My thing is I item hoard like fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But I realize if I keep doing that, I'm just torturing myself and I can muscle my way to a certain point. Then I have to start using items.
Right.
And I have to teach myself that every time I play.
I'm the same way with most of my games. You know, Zelda has been my most recent obsession. Yeah. Loved both. I did like Breath of the Wild better than Tears of the Kingdom.
Paul has a Zelda bathroom in his basement.
A Zelda bathroom.
Yeah.
Oh, Paul, did you see my 3D printed Master Sword?
It turned out so cool, man.
I know, it's dope, right?
Yeah,
it is really nice.
Putting the wrapping around it—that's the way to go on the hill.
I decided that was going to be better than just painting it.
I think it's the right move for sure. Yeah. So I was obsessed with it, but I'm the same way of like. Keeping stuff, but you just got to use it but you got to get to, but that's the other thing too. I get very much stuck because I'm like, well, if I use this little item now, if I use this jewel now, I won't ever have it again. And maybe I'm using it the wrong time.
And the only time I get it. And I never get
Souls
one.
Games are notorious for that shit, though, of just being like, well, you really fucked up there and you'll never get to use that in the right way.
You have to play it again.
I'm never going to tell you how it was supposed to be used. You'll never know unless you read this volume. So that's a little too much.
I refuse to play the Souls games or anything like it.
It's too much for me.
I
don't blame people who do.
I love to watch it. I have watched lots of Twitch
streams
of people playing Elden Ring.
You know, I don't want to be Sisyphus pushing that rock up the hill. Like,
dude, that's exactly.
But you're not. Again, the endorphin hit that I get after completing a boss that I legitimately thought I could not defeat.
Right.
Is way more than just playing a game for me.
I get like a drip freedom.
I can get that playing like something else. But I don't need to
like a big baby though. Like
fuck you.
I know you want to.
I am.
I'm married.
I am like a big baby.
I'm married too. It'll never be
with my games. Yeah. And
like you play NHL and I can't do that. I can't play online competitive games. That gives me such anxiety.
I haven't brought up sports at all because I know neither of you are into sports at all. And I'm only into one sport, but still.
My favorite game, honestly, is just browse the eShops. That's really my favorite game now. Just because I buy my stuff cheap. I do not pay full price. I wait for
me too.
Steam summer sales.
Steam discounts. Yeah. So that's my favorite thing is just to scoot around and go, oh, broke the $5 mark. I can grab that.
Look. For me, the family share, the Steam family share has been a godsend. I've been playing games I never thought I'd be able to play.
I'm still console. I should one of these days go into PC Master Race Town, but I haven't yet. So
I'm not. I play everything. If it plays a video game, I will play it.
Right. Yeah.
Like my phone is a major way I play games.
Did you get that new emulator? Are you an Apple guy? Did you get that new emulator that they've just put on?
I am not an Apple guy. I don't own Apple at all.
Smart.
Actually,
they have an emulator for our Apple products now.
Yes. So there was what's it called? Not Diamond, but something like that. I can't remember the name of the app, but they finally allowed it in the App Store just this week because it was driving tons of traffic to a different App Store within the thing.
Yeah.
Because people were getting it so they could get all their ROMs and mirrored.
Emulation
stuff on there.
Yeah, that is absolutely good. That's really good.
So now it's actually a real thing and it's out there. And
Well, here's another side of this video blamers thing, though. So you hear how people are starting to say, especially online, how Gamergate 2.0 is happening. Like they're saying Gamergate's coming back. Like the thing is, I feel like it's only coming back through the sheer force of people saying it's coming back. Like they're just finding any little thing. And mind you, Gamergate. It's the people with there's always videos of people saying, well, this is what really happened. But it's always different shit. Ultimately, I've just put it up as game journalists were being dicks. Game consumers are being dicks. Everyone was just flopping dicks everywhere and nothing got done. That's the way I see the whole situation.
Well, the problem with all that Gamergate stuff, too, as a person who has been deep into video games for 40 years, it is the fact that this has become the dominant entertainment so when that happens and it becomes ubiquitous and all the plebs and everyone from every, you know, rank and file of the world comes to play video games, suddenly it's every person, good, ill, or indifferent, that's come to this hobby. And it's just
put their opinion in.
Yeah. And it's going to, of course it's going to go to shit. Cause if you look at the, you know, individuals are wonderful. I like people. Mm-hmm. I don't like crowds. Right. You know what I mean? Like when you get into these
Men in Black had the perfect quote.
Mm-hmm.
People, a person is smart and intelligent. People are dumb, panicky and stupid. And they think they know everything.
Right. So that's exactly what happens with this art form becoming so ubiquitous and universally loved. Is that we have swung the door wide open to not just hardcore nerds and there is no stigma attached to playing video games unless imposed by some of these crazies. I'm seeing some of that pop up now. I'm like, are you kidding me, dude?
Yeah, you know what? You're right. You're absolutely right. Like I've had somebody
like it's gone that far. that people are like,
somebody's I self-punish and I read comment sections all the time.
Oh no. Did you not see Wreck-It Ralph? Never read never the comments. Read the
comment section.
Never.
No, it's well established for people who listen that they know I can't help it. And sometimes I like to put a little chaos in by being logical. But overall, I'll go into a thing and one guy goes, "You play video games, so you need to just shut up, bro." Like, says something so stupid like that. I'm like, you're commenting in a comment section about video games. Do you not? Where are you just doing this to piss people off, or are you that stupid?
They're doing it's a trolling thing. It's a trolling thing. Yeah. That's just it. And that's yeah. No,
I just fear people who do think like that. It's just like, well, you play video games, so like, and you read books. I don't know where you're going with this, like.
None of it makes any sense. People are just desperate and lonely and sad, and they're looking to upset other people for enjoying a thing. It's like, don't yuck people's yum. Unless they're harming someone, don't get in their way, you know? Yeah. And that goes to self-harm, too. We can all take it too far. I certainly been guilty of that.
Neglect is a form of harm.
Exactly, right? But, you know, I keep telling myself I'm not hoarding with my collections. So long as there are 2 feet of space for me to walk easily throughout my home, right? That's the main thing. If it ever gets to a point where it's less than 2 feet of space for a walkway where there's stuff stacked, then I'm in trouble. But no, I'm very conscientious about keeping things really organized. You're
like Batman with your collection.
I'm
just like, if I cross that line.
Yes. Yeah, eventually I'll turn into Zuron Ur and be like, we got to sell all this shit. Forget it.
Okay. So, I know this is not on topic, but because I have somebody I can talk to about Batman real quick, because I'm sure you understand. You mentioned Zurin Ross, so Zurin Ar. Yeah. So
here's the thing: like I tell myself I'm a Spidey guy, and I am, but I have a fuckload of Batman stuff too. So go, because I'm not DC, I'm Marvel, and Spidey is my guy. But I have a ton of shit with Batman. But go ahead, let's talk.
So I grew up more with DC than I did with Marvel. But my thing is, like, my time in college really was my Marvel time.
Okay,
because that was during I think the Hope Summers saga with Messiah Complex. That was around that time. And I love the Messiah Complex.
You know what?
X-Men.
And I actually happen to be friends with now his name's gonna fly out of my head. But the guy who came up with Hope Summers.
Really?
Yeah. He's an improviser, and he's we've done shows together. This is like a decade ago. He's very close friends with my comedy partner Matt. James Asmus.
James Asmus.
Yeah.
Okay.
So James, because he writes My Little Pony. He writes a bunch of books. Still currently working. He and his other partner Jim, they did the End Times of Bram and Braun. And what was the last?
I'm familiar with that. Actually.
And they both also did Survival Street. That was their other project that they just did together. So yeah. So that's interesting. That was the time. Okay, Hope Summers. That was your college years.
That was when I really went into Marvel.
Okay,
like really got into it. I used to play the Marvel tabletop game, and so we would coincide with what was happening in the Marvel comics.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. And the way, like, if something was happening with Marvel, that was affecting our game.
I like that,
and it was really fun. It was probably the best tabletop time of my life. But so I started going, you know what? I actually just like characters. I like individual characters. Mm-hmm. So like Batman in his gallery, his world, that's just my thing.
Best rogues gallery, second to Spider-Man.
You know what? I feel like they're way too similar for me.
They're
way too similar.
Because
I relate Batman and Spider-Man closely. Like, I draw Batman and Spider-Man together all the time because I feel like that they would just work together.
They would.
They're pretty much, you know, the lemons to lemonade type of people, essentially.
Yeah.
Just one whines a little bit more because that's the way he copes. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling you which one whines more.
One's funnier. Yeah.
One's way funnier. Mm-hmm. But I just see them working together.
Yeah.
Like, so with Batman, like, what's going on with the comics now with, like, he has a robot hand and he created, like, the Zurin Ar personality. I don't know if I like or hate them leaning so deep into the Zurin Ar that he's now a character, like a villain who speaks like Adam West Batman.
I don't know, man. I love that. That
I don't
last,
know how I feel about it.
That, who's it? Who came up with the last? I've got the last two.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. It's just not
the main Batman
with me
book
either.
Being written by Zdarsky. Zdarsky.
Was that Zdarsky?
I believe so. With his last two, I've got the the two hardbacks on that last run when where he gets up and it's like, what's wrong with you? Like, I just fell from the moon. Shit like that. Like, it's fucking great.
It's like taking that golden age nonsense and just
bringing it fun. What I mean, like why they didn't incorporate that shit into the DCU live action.
I feel like
missed every opportunity.
With James Gunn, they may start doing
that. Yeah. No, he's got that cosmic sensibility. And just like Marvel's got a great cosmic, background stuff, so does DC if they really want to get invested in it.
And they were just too afraid to.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what it was. They were way too afraid of doing that. And especially like people want to say the typical thing with Batman, well, he's just a human. It's like, no, he is a human, but he's in a world of people who wear underwear outside and fly around.
Yeah.
Like, he's not just a normal human.
No.
There's nothing normal about him from his money to his personality and his abilities. He is not normal whatsoever.
No. You'll appreciate this. My pest control guy decided to just show up to spray for bugs, and he's in the basement spraying, and he set off my water leak alarm with the chemicals. And I went down and I was like, oh, no big deal. Don't worry about it. And I look on the ground by where my water softener system is. And I went, oh, the ground's wet. And I started rubbing it. And he went, no, that's the chemicals I'm spraying, man.
Oh, no.
I'm so stupid.
You're dead. You've got seconds.
I washed my hand. I'm sorry to interrupt. Sorry, guys.
No, that's okay. Well, unfortunately, I have to bail because I got to go get my physical therapy appointment.
I appreciate our conversation.
Oh, no, it was lovely meeting you. And
same.
I'm going to get to listen back to the podcast and hear things that I didn't, I wasn't privy to.
Yeah.
Paul, thank you so much for joining us. It was like the coolest thing in the world to have you.
Absolutely appreciate you being on.
A lot of fun, guys. And fuck everybody who talks shit about video games.
Yeah,
absolutely.
For real. Fuck them. All right, take care.
Yep.
Take care, man. Yep,
bye, guys.
I'm so disappointed in you, Matt.
Why are you disappointed in me?
Because you keep proving me right, that you're just a big child.
I know. I'm not the smartest. I'm not the brightest bulb in the drawer. That was fun. I got to not be part of our podcast for like
You were so excited for him, and you...
I know. I'm such a fucking... I didn't expect the guy to... I honestly forgot, like... It was like weeks ago that I mentioned it. I forgot they even said they were going to stop by today and they didn't give me a time or anything. And like the doorbell rang and I was like, oh, whatever, I'll just ignore it. And then I was like, I looked at the camera and went, oh, that's the guy with the chemicals from the pest control place to spray the house outside for bugs. Oh, well. Well, do you want to keep talking about other stuff that we didn't talk about already?
We can banter a little bit more and you can splice it in however you feel like.
I'm not even going to splice it. I'm just going to, we talked about our topic and now we're going to bullshit a little more now that Paul had to leave about some shit that maybe he wouldn't have cared about. Let's see. Where were we? Oh, sports betting. I forgot to tell you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You got into sports betting.
I got into sports betting.
I'm disappointed.
My brother was over the other day and they had like one of those, we were watching the first Rangers playoff game. They had one of those, like FanDuel or what? I think it was FanDuel commercials.
Like the commercial finally got to you.
Well, it was like,
cause they're aggressive nowadays.
It was like, deposit $5, make a $5 bet, get $150 in free bets. And I was like, I've been interested, but my wife, you know, she doesn't really think it's a good idea for me to do it. And he was like, oh man. It's like, it's fun. It makes the games more fun. It's like, you only got to bet like a buck or two on each game. You don't have to like go crazy. And then when you're watching games like, you know, that aren't the Rangers that you don't care about as much, it's a lot more fun to watch because then you're like, oh, I want this team to win because I've got $2 riding on the game. And I got to tell you, it does make the games more fun.
No, it's part of the addictive thing in your head. That's what it is.
I know it's
fun. It's not fun.
It's terrible. It's not. I'm not gonna let it get to that part.
I knew it was gonna be trouble once they got Kevin Hart in on their commercials.
They've got everybody in those commercials.
But that's what I'm saying. Once that happened, it just fucking snowballed.
I don't understand how sports betting was like a mob thing that was super illegal, and they'd crack down organized crime, whatever you want to call them, organized crime task forces and teams would be like getting down on these guys and going after them and stuff. And now, not only is sports betting completely legal, the fucking leagues are all invested in it and have advertising everywhere.
A single vote is the difference.
I mean, I guess you're right.
One vote, maybe a palm full of dollars.
It's just crazy to me that like now it's just completely legal to go. And not even, you don't even have to go anywhere. You go on your
phone. Guess what? tell me how many commercials you've seen for gambling addiction seminars and things that actually help people who get gambling addictions.
I mean, at the end of each tiny text at the bottom is like, if you or someone you know has a gambling addiction, call 1-800-QUIT-NEW-YORK.
They probably have some asshole
that's exactly what it is. Yes,
fuck it.
I gotta tell you, there was the Colorado Avalanche were playing the Winnipeg Jets, and I put like a couple bucks on the Winnipeg Jets to win, and I put a couple bucks on like somebody to score a goal or something. And like the game while I'm watching, I'm like, yeah, come on, score a goal, come on. I'm like, yeah, let's go Winnipeg, let's go. I got $2 riding on this game. Yeah,
dude, I am so lucky. My hate for losing money is stronger than my love of making money.
Well, here's how I know it's a bad idea, right? I've got like 45, 50 bucks in my account now. And I'm like, wow, I got 45. I only deposited $5. But then I'm like, oh, wait, but I had like $150 in free bets I placed. And it netted mm-hmm. me $40 or $50. Yeah. So sure, yeah. Sure, I only deposited $5 and I have $50. But all those bets I placed were with free money.
It was with them. But the thing is, your brain is telling you, oh, man, I made money for nothing.
Well, here's my plan.
No, you didn't.
Here's my plan.
Like, you have to use math.
No, but here's my plan. I'm going to take that $50 or whatever I made, and I'm going to cash it out. And then I'm going to go to the next sports betting app and use their promo and get another $200 in free bets or something.
Thanks for saying that out loud on the internet.
Whatever. I don't care. I'm going to do that. And then eventually I'll make like $100 and I'll have an extra $100 in my pocket.
I feel you better make sure that they actually let you take out the money that's related to the
free bets.
Yeah.
That's a good point. They're like, oh, no. You can't take that $50 out, motherfucker. You only deposited $5. You can take $5
out. And
there's
usually a minimum. So it's like, well, I want my $5 back. Nope. You need to have at least $20.
Fuck this shit. Oh, you're telling
me. Not saying this is what it is, but they do.
You're telling me I'm not as smart as I think I am.
I'm telling you to check.
All right, I'm probably knowing my luck and the way things go.
You just got flustered.
I know. I'm realizing now I probably got fucked, and my wife is gonna listen to this, and she's gonna be like, "See, you fucking dumb fuck, I told you so."
You know what? Your wife needs to start saying you need to talk to Joaquin before you do certain things.
She's already told me that multiple times.
Really?
Yeah, she's already told me I need to talk to Joaquin before I make decisions because you'll tell me that I'm being a fucking moron. But anyway, whatever. I've got like barely any money left in bonus bets now, so I'm using the last of it for the night for a couple more games, and then it'll be gone. And then I'll cash out whatever I got, hopefully, and they won't make me keep it there. And then I'll be like, all right, well, I got to get $100 to cash it out, so I'll just have to place a couple more bets. Just a couple more bets. No big deal. Nothing's gonna harm me. I don't know. What did you want to talk about with CoffeeZilla and Fresh and Fit? I know you had.
Oh, so I know we brought these motherfuckers up before, but I'm just so happy this happened now.
The old red pill guy.
So, there's Myron Gaines, who is fit, and Walter Weeks, who is fresh.
Oh,
they are podcast. They're alpha male podcasters.
Yeah, we've talked about
Red Pill. Yeah, we talked about them specifically. I think
I think the appropriate phrase is dipshits. I think that's
I love making fun of Myron and the fact that I feel like if you're closeted. Like, if you're a good person in your closet,
you think he's closeted?
Just come out. No, just go. Oh, I 100% believe he's closeted. I don't care if I'm correct or not. That's what I believe at this point in my life.
I'm not saying you're wrong. You can be
because very much. One with him and Abba and Preach, who are like two other guys who go against like everything they do.
Yeah.
They talk about how Abba and Preach are gay because they both dance, which in both cases they were dancing with women. But then there's pictures of Myron like hugged up with men shirtless in beds and like just really like compromising pictures. And the thing is like you being gay, there's nothing wrong with it. But if you're closeted, then it's a problem. Like then that is the insult.
Right.
Like if closeted should be the pejorative because you shouldn't be closeted about your sexuality at any point. Yeah. And I understood the necessity of it back then, but there's no necessity for it.
Well,
now,
there's a necessity for him to keep his podcast going without people
but
freaking out.
The fact
out.
That he put himself there, but if he just, but the thing is he's supposed to have integrity. He's supposed to be like a real man.
Does he?
But he has zero integrity.
No, he has none.
No, but his whole shtick is supposed to be
that. Oh, I know. But, his whole shtick is
this isn't,
I'm a fucking jackass, but yeah.
Yeah. But this will, I'll bring this around to Myron in a second. So Walter, who's the dumb one of the two, because I don't think Myron is dumb. I think he's just disingenuous and a piece of shit. And maybe a little, he's a smarter than Walter. I won't say that he's not dumb. He is a very dumb man.
I gotta remember what they look.
So Walter pretty much looks like a burnt puppet of Jack Nicholson.
Okay.
That's what he looks like. And as a black person, I'm just going to make that joke as fucked up as that is. I don't give a shit. I fucking hate both of them as people. I think they're terrible.
Wait, which one's, who's the taller one?
Oh, the taller one is Myron. The skinnier, Myron, right? Taller one, and the gremlin is Walter.
Walter,
he,
okay.
Walter apparently said he got 1,000 bodies. Like, he just, and Myron, everybody called Myron's him on that
the
bullshit.
One that's most vocal on the show, if I remember correctly. Yes. He's the one.
Walter doesn't know how to speak.
Right. Right. Okay.
Like, you know what? You know, tell you, bro, truth, bro, 1,000 bodies. 1,000 bodies. And that's it. He won't add anything to the conversation.
1,000 bodies.
Like, he's.
And his basement, maybe. Fucking,
he's the fucking worst co-host ever. But regardless, so Walter falls in love with this.
I'm not
with
the
this
worst
chick.
Co-host.
Oh no, not even by far.
I feel so good.
But Walter, fucking asshole, he's sleeping with this woman who's possibly a prostitute. We don't know if she was. She is an immigrant from China, and has not. This only has to do with the fact that she is also very superficial. She's okay. Like, I don't need no man, but if I'm with a man, he needs to at least be making $1,000 a week or some, no, like he has to have $1,000,000 or some shit. Like, she's a sugar baby. I don't give a shit what anybody says. I think they met on a sugar baby site.
Probably. Yeah.
So Walter got her pregnant, apparently.
Ooh.
This is all quote unquote alleged, but he got her pregnant.
Is Gizmo going to come out?
Oh God, that's, don't get that baby wet. I promise you, it won't be a good time. But this fucking asshole is now, mind you, they spent all this time, like, their own audience were going, she's a prostitute, or she's just using him for exposure, or she's this, she's that, and they're now, they were like, no, she is a bro, you don't know what you're talking about, you're stupid, you don't know what you're talking about. Now that it all came out that he probably got her pregnant and she released a recording of them and he's telling her to get an abortion. Because
yeah,
he's too stupid to understand that maybe you shouldn't have nutted in her.
Right.
Simply do not nut in the woman.
Usually a bad idea if you don't want to get somebody pregnant.
But mind you, Walter's so dumb, he doesn't even believe that 2 + 2 is 4. He thinks 2 + 2 is a man-made construct. And I understand where I... equation of two things exists. But yeah, he was too stupid to, like, express that.
Sounds about right.
And so now, so I don't even believe he thinks that sperm plus egg equals baby. Like, so
he thinks there's more to this equation.
Yeah. And now he got this woman pregnant, apparently. And he's trying, he wants. Publicity. That's all he's doing. He's just the slick, I think he's from Vegas, lawyer who's also a piece of shit, and he's calling the woman a hoe because they say 403 or yeah 304 or something like that. They call women 304s
because
they
it's called upside down, like on a calculator, because you know, we're doing boobies on a calculator, we're so mature.
Yeah, because we're grown-ups.
Yeah,
these men are our age. Whatever. I'm not a lawyer, so fuck that, right?
Right.
But so now Myron goes on this huge tirade, and he's like pumped up. He's like, You motherfuckers aren't here for us. You aren't here for us. You motherfuckers, you want to make fun of us? Our darkest times? Our darkest times? He got a woman pregnant. That is the darkest time? That I'm not loyal to a fault because I take care of mine, because being loyal to a fault doesn't make sense to me. I was like, yeah, because you're too stupid to understand that you literally are proving that you're loyal to a fault. Like, even if your friend is wrong, you're gonna stick with them. That is literally what loyal to a fault is.
The definition of the term. Yes.
And I know I overmodulated, but that, like, Myron gets to me.
Just in my feed constantly, and I could not. I was constantly. Getting so angry watching the videos and going, "Oh, right, that's what the algorithm wants. It wants me to get angrier and angrier and angrier and angrier, and just keep watching these videos and getting angrier and angrier at all the dumb fucking shit they say."
Yeah. So the man takes a mug, throws it across the screen, not like across the studio, and breaks it
because
he's just. His emotions, because having emotions is a woman thing. And so I'm just sitting there, and all I can hear is him going, "Man, it should have been me. He should have let it in me. I've been having a baby." Like, that's all I could hear listening to him the whole fucking time.
It could be true. It could very well be true.
Because the only reason why I can imagine he keeps Walter. Feeling behind.
Well, he's already paying him. So
no, but he's not. But if he's paying him, he's paying him to stay close. But he's not paying him for the emotion.
Right.
And now he slips himself in by showing, "I'm your man. I'm like, I'm here for you no matter what. It's just me and you versus the world.
Let me take my shirt off.
Me and you. You too hot. You uncomfortable. You're uncomfortable. Let me massage your neck." Yeah.
I had a construction handyman type guy here to give me a quote on a possible project, and he smelled really good. And I was just like, "Dude, what is that?" I was like, whatever cologne or aftershave you're wearing smells so damn good, man. And he just looked at me like, I was like, "I don't mean to be weird. It smells really good, man."
You know what's really funny to me now that you say that?
Not saying I was right.
Well, if your wife had said that to that guy, if a woman says it, it's not creepy anymore.
No, not at all.
It's just weird. And I'm not trying to make this into a man versus woman thing. I'm literally just making an observation that every time I've ever been told I smell good, it was by a woman. It was never seemed weird. Or I've heard a woman say that to somebody, and it was never seemed weird. But every
man, I just, you know what it was?
In the back of my
mind,
today.
In the back of my mind, I was hoping he would tell me what it was so I could go get it.
So you can find it and get it.
Because it smelled so good. I was hoping he'd just be like, "Oh yeah, it's blah blah." But instead he just looked at me like, "I'm gonna go now."
He should have just like whipped around at you and went, "It's my natural musk." And just walked.
That's my armpits. Rainbows spraying out.
It's like the fuck?
It's like I can't remember the name now. The cat.
Old Spice? Oh, what?
That cat?
Young cat. Young
just
cat.
He lifts his arms up and rainbows just shoot out.
Just flying out.
Yeah, this is how my life is.
Did you see that the Biden signed the TikTok ban into law?
I did. I don't care either way.
I don't really care either. I noticed I don't really use TikTok at all anymore. Like for a while there,
the algorithm killed me.
Yeah, I just don't. The algorithm's bad. It just it and like nothing against. Transgender people and women selling wigs.
From a generation where transsexual wasn't offensive. And man, when, so it's really weird.
When Rin was on and I said it several times, I wanted to just crawl into myself when she corrected me.
Well, okay, so this is not to be offensive to anybody. I grew up with transvestite being the typical, the not stereotype, but the being the term.
But that,
and then it altered because. Thinking that way. So if that was correct, it was like, no, it's transsexual.
Right.
Like, oh, okay. And then
that's the term.
It was college age when I've learned that.
That was the term that I thought was used for somebody who was wanted to present as the opposite sex. Yes.
Yep. And now the cycle has changed again.
Yeah.
And it's just like
it's my old man brain. Sorry, guys.
At this point, it's like we're learning, but. Not being offensive to be offensive. And I don't even take offense because that's not what,
you're going for. Yeah. And I've had no problem asking her questions that I normally would have thought like been not self-conscious about asking because I would think I'm not even being offensive.
Insensitive
or something. And she's just like totally cool with it. Like has no problem with it.
And she'll answer.
She answers and it helps me learn and become a better person. So
yeah, that's why I feel so strongly about what I say about trans things, even if I am wrong.
Right.
Because ultimately I'm learning from someone who's going through
it.
Like actively and willing to talk to me about
it. 100%. And it's refreshing to have that as something that's available and part of your life.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's basically been what my TikTok algorithm turned into.
Yeah.
It's like I'm not overly interested in any of these topics that you're showing me all the time, so like I don't know what happened, so I guess I don't really care either. It's just weird to me the idea that we're gonna ban an app in our country.
It is, but like one is one of those things that, you know, a president at the end of their term is just fucking signing and putting in a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
So hell can be broken loose with the new president coming in.
Sure.
It's same goddamn bullshit. They're gonna release a bunch of prisoners we're never gonna hear about, and on top of that, yep, it's the thing. And right now, I feel like the banning of TikTok is a way of grabbing people's attention away from whatever else is done, because ultimately,
just like we were talking about with the video game stuff.
Yeah, it's a sacrificial lamb.
Speaking of the video game stuff too, we were prepared to talk about this today, and then I saw an article last night that there's been a huge rise in video game addiction lawsuits across the country. Apparently it's a new thing where there's dozens and dozens of lawsuits popping up.
Because people are always going to be desperate too. Because I feel like I really feel like a lot of it is frivolous. It's sort of like people suing McDonald's.
Yeah. For being fat. Well, that's what I mean. How is it any different really?
Yeah, it's not. And the thing is they're going to fuck because they want to get a step up in life or somehow get a windfall of money. They're going to fuck it up for everybody else and give legs to people who want to ruin our lives.
I've talked about it before. Like when I play, like not most games, but when I play like NHL, I get a win. I get a big boost of dopamine or oxytocin or whatever the chemical is.
Yeah, so I think it's oxytocin. I said dopamine earlier too.
There's definitely whichever one. It could be both. I don't know. There's definitely an addictive aspect of it. But again, like you said, it's no different than me going to McDonald's and getting a quarter pounder and getting those goddamn delicious molecules in my mouth that are like fucking heaven and making me want to eat 100 of those. Dude, my wife brought home Girl Scout cookies. Those things have cocaine in them. I don't know how else they could be so delicious. I can't stop eating them. They're so fucking delicious, which is why I think I feel like so shitty lately, because I just ate a shit ton of Girl Scout cookies. But I don't get it. Like
I bought these and I don't drink soda.
Spice.
I fell in love with Coca-Cola Spice.
That sounds good. And
I don't drink soda. I tried one because I usually like to try their new flavors on, and I give myself a little soda break.
Yeah.
And I bought a whole case because I was addicted to it. I was like, fuck.
That sounds really good. And I think when I leave to get my kids from school, I'm going to go stop and get one now.
Yeah, try one. I bought the little cans and I try to make sure I don't drink more than two a day.
Yeah.
But that, and once the case is done, I'm done with it. I can't.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
What you need to do with video games and shit.
Yeah, just
is literally just going, you know what? It. Fine, I need to stop. It was like, well, it's in our children. Where's the parent? Why aren't you doing anything about it?
We also know for a fact that gambling is addictive and nobody's like out there suing casinos and sports betting companies either.
We didn't give a shit when people in Thailand were in video game cafes fucking literally pissing and shitting themselves and dying.
Yeah.
Like, that was just like, wow, I can't believe somebody sat and played fucking World of Warcraft like that.
We spooked it on South Park and moved on. You know?
Like, what the fuck? Really? We're suing over that? So you're just going to ruin other people's lives because you want to take a... You're pretty much crabs in a bucket. You're just going to fuck up everyone else because you want to get a little bit higher to the rim. You're never going to make it over.
No. No, agreed.
If you even get your windfall of money, you're going to fucking spend it all because you don't know how to have money like that.
It was, they targeted companies including Activision Blizzard, Epic Games, Microsoft, Roblox. Interesting.
How are they going to sue Roblox?
Nintendo, Take-Two Interactive, and Sony. Baby loves their
games too much.
They make their games purposefully addictive as a way to keep people playing and get them to spend a lot of money. Isn't that every product you're trying to get people to... want your product all the time so that they continue to spend money and buy it?
So wait, they're blurring the line between with the gambling addiction thing. This happened in, I want to say, 2 years ago in Britain or Europe in general, but I think Britain specifically, where they, I think Ubisoft was sued. I could be completely wrong with that portion, but they were sued because of loot boxes.
Because
the loot boxes were made, they did the sound specifically, they did the money, the monetization specifically to do what casinos do to kind of hypnotize you.
That's what they're claiming in this lawsuit. That the
it's like, now you're blurring the line that all video games are doing that.
That's what they're claiming. They're talking about like the reward systems in games and stuff, which have been a part of games forever and are part of the reason you play them and progress through a story.
Board games. Fucking sue board games.
I know.
Sue everybody who plays. Every family that's been broken into fucking tiny pieces over Monopoly needs to sue Mattel.
It's interesting, too, because these lawsuits are across Arkansas, Illinois, Missouri, Florida, and Washington. So it's not like it's one specific, segment of the population or what am I trying to say? It's you're talking about different states. You got blue states and red states in there. So I don't know.
I don't know. It just seems stupid. It seems really stupid.
One lawsuit states that a 13-year-old's video game addiction has caused physical pain, obesity, and rage.
No, the obesity causes physical pain, and your kid has an emotional disorder.
Dude, that's so fucking on point. Obesity causes physical pain, you fucking idiot. How'd the video game cause obesity? I'm pretty sure it was the food that caused obesity. Like, come on,
you
man.
Keep buying your kid video games? Because I bet you, if your kid played the same video game, they'd be bored and just not playing it.
That's the important part there.
And I don't know what to do.
This is what bothers
me. Fucking serious.
But this is what bothers me. If we're talking about a 13-year-old, you have parents. You have parents that are in charge. When my kids act up, I say, no iPads, no tablets.
Game goes off.
You don't get the game anymore. You're fighting over a game. You're obsessing over a game, whatever. You don't get it anymore. So like you're talking about a 13-year-old. Parents, be fucking parents. But you're going to sue somebody else because you didn't know how to tell your kid he couldn't play a game anymore? Get off his fat ass and go exercise instead of playing Roblox?
The addiction to video games and then getting punished and having it turned off with them having no choice in playing it is such a good exercise for your child's brain to understand that things will not go your way all the goddamn time.
I agree.
You can't always have an endorphin hit.
Agree.
Or maybe have hours where the game can be ran and the game can't. Take your lazy ass off your fucking phone, because I'm sure you're on your goddamn phone.
Yep.
Unplug your kid's game, hide the plug, and you're good. They're not going to be able to get on. Well, they rage. Well, you're going to have to weather the storm because your kid's not going to be good all the fucking time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like you said, maybe your kid has an emotional disorder and maybe you should get them some help, you know?
It's like,
what a load of dog shit.
Money is not going to make that shit better. Guess what? You're suing, you're going to get money, and what's going to happen? Your kid's going to still play video games. You'll just have more money to spend on them playing fucking video games. And then they're going to be living with you for the rest of their lives. Go fuck yourself. Take whatever limb you have and shove it inside yourself as deeply as you can.
All of them.
Maybe you'll stimulate a nerve that'll click your brain correctly and you'll understand how stupid you are. God damn.
That's what this podcast is all about right there. I think that's a perfect place to end it. Because that's just, you just embodied this podcast in that last little bit of wordage.
Oh man.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you,
Paul.
Yes, the just incomparable Paul Mattingly, one of my favorite people in the world. So happy to actually have some time to
talk. I'm a fan now.
He's awesome. I told you he's awesome.
When he did that commercial, I knew that I recognized the voice instantly. I was like, okay.
He's so good. He's just such a talented and funny dude. So thank you so much, Paul, for joining us. I hope everybody enjoyed that. As usual, if you want to buy a shirt or you want to send us an email or something like that, you can go to the website. Oh my God, I thought it was glitching because you were saying it as it was playing.
I saw your face once I started doing it.
I thought something was wrong with it. Or you can just email us, podcast@atiwihy.com. We welcome your emails and your comments. This was a fun episode. I really enjoyed our time just going nuts about shit and talking with Paul. You got anything else to add before we sign off?
Vader did not deserve a redemption arc.
Yeah, kick it off. I like when we have guests on, and I know we like to do it sparingly, so it's not a regular thing. It becomes a obsession in my mind to make sure we have somebody every fucking time. It's fun to do
this once in a while. This was a really good one. I enjoyed Paul.
We've been fortunate so far with our guests.